think talking about stress in a positive way is ever out of place. I think, you know, we live in very stressful times, and there's lots of things today that can get us down, lots of things that can cause stress for us. And I just want to encourage everyone, if you haven't been to the Sunday morning Bible class, just drop in here a little, about an hour early on Sunday morning. I think you missed a blessing today if you weren't here, so try to do that next week if you can. We hear a lot about role models these days. We hear, or lack of role models, whatever the case might be, especially for young people, someone that they can look up to, someone that they can model their lives after, someone that they can kind of hold up and say, you know, this person is good. This is the kind of person that I want to grow up and be. Oh, we've had lots of role models that have emerged from the entertainment industry. We've had some good role models that are sports figures from football, basketball, baseball, bicycling, tennis, soccer, other sports, even some politicians that have come along, look like really good role models, but as time goes on, it seems like they sort of fall from that role model pedestal. Oh, because of recreational drug use, alcohol abuse, violence, anabolic performance enhancing steroids, and all kinds of other dishonesty, maybe because they lied about it for so long. So I think our young people really do need role models, but everyone needs role models. Everyone loves a champion, someone that they can look at and say, boy, there's somebody that really has their life together. They're doing all of the right things. They're successful in life, in this life, and it looks like they're going in the right direction toward the next life. We had one that looked like, in sports figures, it looked like would be a good role model, but in return from that, it seems like now he's been ridiculed, ostracized, and shunned on some levels. So that's a shame. It really is. But I think we all need role models. We need examples for each one of us here at Neely's Bend, and we have them. We have men and women in this congregation that are worthy of your study, they're worthy of your watching, and they're worthy of your imitation of them. This morning, though, I want to look at the Old Testament book of Joshua. You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, whatever was written before was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort in the Scriptures, might have hope. Whatever was written before, in another version it says before times, it means before these times. So he's talking about Old Testament Scripture. In Joshua chapter 14 and verse 12, there's an interesting verse that introduces this letter, this lesson this morning. Caleb is talking to God Almighty through Joshua, who was then the leader of the Israelite nation as they were going into the promised land. And Caleb said, now therefore give me this mountain, which the Lord spoke of before. That's a strange request. Why this request? Well, in Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14, we see the background on Caleb. And as we study this, we can see that the life of this man Caleb is certainly worth our study, and it's worth our imitation as well. And I will tell you, if you apply the same principles to your life that Caleb lived by, you can have your mountains too. God will give you your mountain. I don't know what mountain it is that you've been looking for, that you've been praying about, that you've been needing so desperately, but living our lives by the same principles, by the same pattern that Caleb lived his life, God will give you your mountain. And those are some of the things that I want to talk about this morning. I guess this is kind of designed to be a motivational talk more than anything else, but I have never believed anything that the Bible teaches more than I believe this. That if we will live for God, if you will put your faith and trust in Him, and it's not easy, and I'll talk about that a little bit more as we go along, it's not always easy to do that, but God will increase us greatly as individuals. He will increase you in your life in every way. He will increase us here at Neely's Bend Church of Christ. If you want a mountain here at Neely's Bend Church of Christ, we need to put our faith in God, and while we do that, do all of the right things in all prayer and supplication, like the blessed apostle said when he gave us those great spiritual weapons to use. But I want us to look at some reasons this morning why Caleb is a great role model for us today, and why he's someone that we can study and we can imitate in our life. And the first thing I want us to see is that Caleb was a respected leader. Now, Caleb was one of the 12 spies. The nation of Israel had come on a long journey from slavery in Egypt, and now they were camped at Kadesh Barnea, right on the southern edge of the promised land. This is what they had looked for so long. This is what they had suffered so much for. Now they're right on the edge. They can look at the promised land. And Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land, the land of Canaan, said, I want you to look at the land, look at the cities, see if they're strong, see if they're fortified, or see if they're weak and not walled around. Look at the people, see what they look like. Are they confident? Are they powerful? Are they strong? Are they weak? Check the fertility of the land. Bring back some samples of the grapes and the pomegranates and the figs and things like that so we can see what it was. Well, they came back after 40 days of spying out the land. They had all these things. They had done everything that Moses had challenged them to do. Caleb and Joshua said, great land. We need to go up and take the land. We need to just go do it. Just like Nike said, let's do it. Just do it right now. Well, the 10 other spies, they were dissenters. They said, oh, I don't know. Said, the cities are large and they're fortified. And we saw the children of Anak there. Now, Anak were the giants that we talked about. They were big people. I don't know. They may have been 11 or 12 feet tall. I don't know how big they are. I don't know what a giant would be. We're not told in Scripture, but they were large. And I guess they were fearful to the smaller built Israelites. They said, I don't think we can take the land. Well, they really stirred up the Israelite nation. These people were whining and crying. They just wanted to go back to Egypt, go back to slavery in Egypt. While the other spies and the people were turning their back on God, though, Caleb kept his faith in God, and he stayed focused on what God wanted. And what God wanted was for them to take the land. It was the land that he promised to Abraham so many years before. He wanted them to take the land. And the same is true for us today. God wants us to take the land for Him. He wants us to take this community and the area around about. He wants us to evangelize. He wants us to seek lost souls. He wants us to bring people to Neely's Bend Church of Christ so they can hear about Caleb and other people like that on Sunday morning in the good Bible classes that Brother Slate and Brother North have had here over the years, so that people can hear about all of these things. And it says in verse 30 of chapter 13, it said that Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Now, respect doesn't always come easy. It must be earned, and sometimes it's hard won. But no matter if these people didn't necessarily agree with Caleb, we can see here that they respected Caleb because they were really in a state. I mean, they were worked up into a frenzy. They were frightened. They were afraid they were going to be killed. They were afraid that they were going to be stuck there on the edge of the promised land. And at one point, they just said, let's appoint us a captain to take us back to Egypt. Well, God didn't want His people in Egypt. He wanted His people free. He wanted His people in their own land where they could serve Him just like we do today without any fear of any hindrance from anywhere. But Christians are leaders for the Lord. We're all soldiers in the Lord's army. And as we lead for the Lord, we must work to develop the respect of those that we lead. And the way that we do that is just like my mother used to say, you need to practice what you preach. And if we're going to preach faith in God, turning our problems and worries and stresses over to Him, then we need to live that way, and we need to let people see us living that way. Caleb stilled the people. He was a respected leader. Number two, Caleb would accept a dangerous assignment, and did accept a dangerous assignment. Chapter 13, verse 21, it says, and so they went up and spied out the land. It took courage and faith in God for strangers to go as spies into an unknown land. It takes courage and faith to do most of what God has told us to do. It really does. You just think about the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's not to preachers. That's not to just church congregations. That is to individuals. We all have the commitment and the command, the commission, to go and teach all nations. You know, I can't hire somebody to do that for me. If I can hire somebody to do that for me, then I can hire somebody to attend the worship services for me. If I can hire somebody to attend the worship services for me, I can hire somebody to take of the Lord's Supper for me. But these commandments are to everyone jointly and severally. Personally, we're supposed to be going into all the world and doing what we can do. And all of the world is the person next door, the person over the back fence, the people that we work with, the members of our families, and our circle of friends that we all have. But it takes courage and faith. The Bible says that. It took real courage for Noah to build that ark. God told Noah, said, you need to build an ark. He spent 100 years. He spent more than 100 years. Him and his sons spent almost a lifetime building this ark. It took real courage for him to get all those animals together and his family and to pack them in that ark and everything they needed, everything that the animals were going to need to eat and all of the things that you just think about it. What criticism he must have had. He's out here in a residential area, I imagine, in a subdivision, building an ark. Something 300 feet long. He's building it in his backyard. Can you imagine what his neighbor said? What are you doing, Noah? Why are you doing that? He said, well, it's going to come big rain. Going to need this ark. Can you imagine the criticism and the ridicule that he must have stood up under for over 100 years? It took real courage for the Apostle Paul to go into all those foreign countries. He wasn't known. He didn't know them. They had different cultures. They had different beliefs. They had different gods. And to preach the gospel and establish those churches in all of those towns. Can you imagine? A timid person would have never done that. But it takes real courage to do what God has told us to do, even in this life. It took real courage for Christopher Columbus to set out on that vast ocean in those three little ships. I can just imagine that the night before he left Genoa, there was probably a going-away party, and all of his friends got together and wished him well because they figured they weren't going to see their old friend Chris anymore, ever. It took real courage for Orville and Wilbur Wright to truck that little airplane across the country to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Can you imagine when they pulled into the filling station to get gas and somebody asked them, so what you got there in the trailer? It's an aeroplane. Say what? You know, there wasn't any aeroplanes. They didn't know what to, but it takes real courage to do things like that. But you know what? It takes nothing to criticize. It takes nothing to ridicule. There's nothing on the line. You don't have anything to lose to criticize what someone else is trying to do, whether or not you necessarily agree with it, if it's something for good. But the lesson for us in this is like Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. He said, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of faith, of love, and of discipline." Another version says, a sound mind, a discipline, able to think, able to reason. Caleb didn't have a spirit of fear. Caleb had a spirit of faith. He was willing to turn it over to God. If God said, go take that land, he said, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go because God's with me and he's going to give it to me. There's no problem with that. But that just doesn't come easy. Christianity requires faith and it requires courage. Boiled down, it requires nerve. We just need to have faith that God will. We know that he can take care of things, but we need to have faith that he will take care of things. We preach and we teach faith in God, but when it comes right down to it, the truth of the matter is, when I'm in a crisis situation, I go back to what I know that I can do on my own. What is it that I can do? And that's all we can see. That's all we can think about. Number three, Caleb was dedicated to the cause. He stuck with the mission. He even stayed on during the 40 years of wilderness wandering after God said, there's not a soul of this generation going to go into that land except for Caleb and Joshua. Moses himself wasn't even allowed because of a separate sin. He wasn't allowed to enter the promised land. Only Caleb and Joshua. And he stuck it out through the whole thing. Why? He wanted that mountain for one thing, but he was committed to God and he was committed to the nation of Israel. Dedication to the cause of God is absolutely essential for happiness and for success in this life and the next life. We must have faith in him. Number four, Caleb was an optimist. Brother Slate talked about that just a little bit this morning. You know, I don't like a negative attitude. I've always thought of myself as a PMA person. I studied under the teachings of the great Norman Vincent Peale and his book on the power of positive thinking and positive mental attitude. And I believe that you can alter things. People respond to you. And you can change things with your attitude. When you approach another person and they say, how you doing, Mike? You go, oh man, didn't get much sleep last night. You know, kind of back's hurting, you know, and all that. People will mirror back to you the kind of attitude that you approach them with. But if you say, man, nothing better, doing great, you know, how can somebody come back to that? Everything's good. You know, when people ask you, how you doing, Mike, they really don't want to know. You know, right, Ann? You know, it's really, people really don't want to hear about your agenda and itinerary and how hard you're working and how stressed out you are and all of that. But it's, he was an optimist. 10 of his fellow spies said they couldn't take the land. Look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 27 and 28. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. He's talking about the samples of the grapes and pomegranates and stuff that they brought back to show. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Then he goes on to talk about the Amalekites to the south and the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Canaanites are over by the sea, and all these people are just everywhere. You know, what are we going to do? Caleb and Joshua were clearly outnumbered, but they were not outfaithed. You see, the other 10 were thinking of what they could do just then. And they were right. They were absolutely right. They couldn't take the land. They couldn't do it. They had left God out of their plans, though. And when we leave God out, we are doomed to miserable failure of all kinds. when we're trying to do something for good. We just can't do the things, and we can't be the things that God needs us to be and wants us to be if we're living our lives with a negative spirit of I can't, it's too hard, we're too small, it just won't work out, and it just, when Paul said as much, I think, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, when he was writing to them, telling them that it's not what we do, it's what God does. That's what matters. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but it's God who gives the increase. Amen. I mean, it's God that gives the increase. It's God that will give the increase here at Neely's Bend if we're just doing the things that we're supposed to do. And if you invite somebody to come to church and they never show up, don't even worry about it. Don't get stressed out about it or overcome by it, because God will give the increase if we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. And that increase might come from some place that we never knocked on the door. We never asked them. We never invited them. But God brought them here. And we get the increase because of that. Caleb said, let's go up at once. We are well able to take the land. In chapter 13 and verse 30. Let's go up. Let's go do it. Let's do this. We are well able to take the land. Number five, Caleb always trusted God to do his part. He knew what others didn't know, apparently, is that we are nothing without God. We see people, Joe and I and Tom, we see people every day without God in their lives, don't they? Don't we? Every day. And we help them. We give them, if anybody comes to our door and they want food, they've got it. We've got boxes of food on the table back there. When we give some out, we go fill up another box. But there's always food. No questions asked. We just ask them what their name is, where they live, just because we like to know who they are. Sometimes we pay electric bills. Sometimes we pay water bills. Sometimes we do other things. You know, if somebody smokes, don't come asking for money, though, right? There's your electric bill right there. You know, you give up those cigarettes and you can buy you a new Cadillac. just like that. But we don't do that. He knew, though, what the others didn't know. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 8, Caleb said, if Jehovah delight in us, then he will bring us into the land. He will bring us into the land. He said, Jehovah's with us. Jehovah's behind us. And we'll be great and we'll be strong. And he knew that the source of strength was from God. And it's the same for you and me today. Nothing has changed. Caleb said, their defense is removed from over them, and the Lord is with us. In chapter 14 and verse 9. I thought about what the Apostle John said in that little book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Listen to this. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And that he who is in them is in every one of you that's a baptized believer here this morning. That he is there. And he's greater than he who is in the world, without a doubt. Number six, Caleb was a man of courage. Chapter 14 and verse 10, the people were going to stone him dead. They were going to stone him and Joshua and the great man Moses. They were going to stone them dead because they didn't like them wanting to go on in and take the land. His life and his faith was on the line. But you know what? Caleb never backed up. He never changed his story. He always had his faith in God. And as long as his faith was in God, he's going to go forward with what God said to do. And he knew that God wanted them in that land. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 again. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. If you're afraid of life, if you're afraid of going forth and doing God's work and doing good in the world, it didn't come from God. He gave us a spirit of love and of faith and of a sound mind, of discipline. That's what our spirit is. Last one this morning, Caleb's key to success. What was it? Well, in Joshua chapter 14, in verse 8, Caleb said, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me to spy out the land, who made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." He said, "I wholly followed the Lord my God." How many of us can say that this morning? Can I say that in my life I have wholly followed the Lord my God? I try to, I want to, and I'm going to keep trying to. My heart is in the right way. As I've told you so many times, I want to go to heaven when I die. And I want every one of you to go. I want all of you to be there. I want to see you there. And that's the best we can hope for. Put some more water in the soup. There's better times are coming. There's a better life ahead of us than this. And we need to get ready for it. While others were criticizing, doubting, following their own will, Caleb and Joshua followed God. That's exactly what they were doing. While others were criticizing, doubting, and following their own will, Caleb and Joshua followed God. They knew what God wanted for Israel. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, God even said that Caleb had followed me fully. Had followed me fully. This is also the key to success in our day, is having faith in God. This is made possible through truth. You know, John wrote in John chapter 8, 32, he said, "You shall know the truth, and it's that truth that shall make you free." The wise man Solomon said, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Proverbs 23 and 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Buy it, don't sell it. Do whatever you have to do to get to the truth. Look for the truth. We're all looking for the truth. Talked about truth a little bit last Sunday evening in here, but we're all looking for that. In Joshua chapter 15 and verse 13, we find Caleb inheriting that land. You know what? He got his mountain. Literally translated from the Greek, it was hill country. You know where he wanted? He wanted Hebron. And Hebron is where the children of Anak were. But he said, "I'm 85 years old now." And he said, "I'm still as strong as I was the day when I was 45 and you sent me into that land." He said, "I'm ready for war." He said, "I'm ready to work that land." And he said, "God will be with me and I'll go in there and I'll drive those people out." And he set his foot on that land. Well, what does all this mean to us anyway? Well, we need to go after the mountains that God has given us. And I think God has given us all the mountains for good that every one of us wants. He's given us a mountain here at Neely's Bend. We have it here this morning. And it's spread out over this community. 5,000 and something doors between State Route 45 and where? That way. Briley Parkway. And that's who we normally mail to. And it's all there for us. God's already given it to us. It's a great mountain. We just need to go claim that mountain. And you need to go claim your mountains too. Put your faith in God. Pray early and often. Pray early and often. Don't use prayer as a last resort. It doesn't work well that way. We need to pray first. Use it as a first resort anyway, and go claim our mountains. We need to have faith, at least as big as a mustard seed. And then the scripture tells us we can move mountains. Do you have any need of the Lord's invitation this morning? Are you outside of the body of Christ? Have you not had your faith in God the way you should have? Do you not feel like your mountains are coming to you? Do you not feel like you can take the mountain that you have in front of you, the mountain that's already been given to you and you know it's yours? Whatever you need this morning of the church, won't you come now as we stand together and sing this song? Let Him have His way with thee.